Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Samach. At the end of yesterday's share, we had a question that was sent from the Galil to Rabbi Chalbo, and he didn't know the answer, and he sent it to Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha. So we have a similar situation today, and that's why this Gemara is brought down. So we begin again, Samach Omed Aleph, six lines out from the top with the words, Shalchule b'nei Galil Rabbi Chalbo. So from the Galil, they sent to Rabbi Chalbo the following question. Ma'u likros b'chumashim b'veis ha'knesis b'tzibur. Can you use a chumish to read in shul for the amud for the tzibur? Now, they're not talking about our chumish, our printed chumashim, which we in the vernacular call chumashim. They're talking about a fifth of a real Sefer Torah. So for example, Sefer Bereishis, or Sefer Shmos, or Vayikra, or Bamidbar, or Dvarim, that was written in the full way as a Sefer Torah, but it was only one fifth of a full Sefer Torah. As Rashi says, Shiyesh shekosun lahem chamisha chumashim kol chumash echod sholem li'atzmo. B'chosef reim hevu hayu b'megilo. It says on the side, it should be b'glilo k'sefer Torah shalom. So in other words, somebody had a fully acceptable Sefer Torah, but only in part. He had only all of Sefer Bereishis, or Shmos, as I just said, etc. So the question that the B'nai Galil asked Rabbi Chalbo, can you use? So you're reading this week, Parashas Pinchas, so can you take out the Sefer Bamidbar that you have, a full Sefer Bamidbar, and can you go and read from Sefer Bamidbar, Parashas Pinchas, even though you don't have the rest of the Sefer Torah, you don't have Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, or Devarim, but you have a full 100% kosher Sefer Bamidbar. That was the question that they asked. Ma'alu kos b'chumash v'esakness v'tzibar, and lo ha'v'biyadeh. Like with yesterday's share, Rav Chalbo didn't know the answer. He wasn't too ashamed. So also Shaila Rav Yitzchak Navcha. So he went to Rav Yitzchak Navcha. In yesterday's share, Rav Yitzchak Navcha knew the answer. Here today, Lo Haviyadi, Rav Yitzchak Navcha also didn't know the answer. So also Shalbi Midrasha. So he went to the base medrash. They asked the other Tamidei Chacham, does anyone know the answer? Upashtu, they figured it out. Mehodi Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. That's the gear. So we have on the side, it says it should be Rav Yonasan. In any event, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni said it over the name of Rav Yonachanan or Rav Yonasan, the following suggestion that would answer the question. He said, Sefer Torah Shechosu Yiriyah Achas Ein Korbo. If you have a Sefer Torah that's missing even one of the klafim, one of the parchments, so then you can't read from that in public. So certainly, if you're even missing one parchment, if you're missing one small piece of one Sefer of the entire Sefer Torah, then certainly if you're missing four-fifths of it, because you only have the Chumash Bamidbar in my example, so certainly you wouldn't be able to go and read from such a Sefer Torah for the Tzibur. However, the Gemara says, Lav Davka, Velohi. They tried to answer this, what Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni said, but that's really not a good answer, because in that situation, Hassam, you know why you weren't allowed for me that Sefer Torah? There was a complete Sefer Torah, but it was missing a Yiriyah Achas, because Hassam, Merasar B'milse, because it was missing something. And if you're missing something, that's different than having an intact one-fifth of the Sefer Torah. Hey, you didn't have an intact Sefer Torah. You're missing an entire Yiriyah. So therefore, it's Merasar B'milse. It's missing something. However, Hacha, the question that was asked from Rabbi Chalbo, which he didn't know the answer to, was Lo Mechsa B'Milsei. It was a full-fledged, absolutely complete Sefer of one-fifth of the Torah. So let's say by Midbar. So could you read for it? Parashas Pinchas. So how do we paskin? The Gemara says, Rabbi Rav Yosef, Amir Tavayu, both Rabbi and Rav Yosef paskin this, Ein Karim B'Chumashim Eis HaKnesses, Mishum Kavod Tzibur. They said, you're not allowed to read for such a Sefer because it looks like the Tzibur doesn't have the wherewithal and the ability to go and buy a real full Sefer Torah, and that's a lack of cover for the Tzibur. So therefore, better not to go and read from such a Sefer. This does imply that, I mean, that's a Madin, you would be allowed to, but just not proper cover for the Tzibur, and therefore we don't do this. Now the Gemara continues and tells us another din for Rabbi Rav Yosef. If Rabbi Rav Yosef, Damer Tavayu, Rabbi Rav Yosef both said, Hai Sefer Haftorah, the Sefer that you're having for the Haftorahs. Today we have published books that are just for the Haftorahs. So if somebody were to write a klaf in those days that just was all the Haftorahs, but it wasn't a complete Sefer of Yoshua or Shmuel, etc. So if somebody were to just have a book of Haftorahs, Sefer Haftarta, so then in that situation, Asur Lemikre Be Bishabbos. You wouldn't be allowed to use that on Shabbos to read Daf Torah. Why not? My time off. Because the Lo Nitan Likase, because the Torah Shabbat Ksav is not supposed to be written down unless it's written down fully. And therefore, this Haftorah book wasn't written down fully, and therefore you're not allowed to write down parts of it. You have to write down the full Sefer. You're not allowed to write parts of it down. It has to be written completely. And therefore, the Lo Nitan Likasev means that only a Haftorah book was not something that was meant to be written down. You're allowed to write a complete Yeshua, and then you read, as some places do, which is the correct way, to read the Haftorah. Let's say it's the Haftorah, it's from Yeshua, so you have a full Sefer Yeshua, rolled up like a cloth, written properly like a Sefer Torah, and they would read from there. So that is allowed. But to just have a book that just has the haftaras in it that you can't do. Similarly, Mar Barav Ashi Amar L'Tiltulei Nami Yasser. He says, not only can't you read from this book on Shabbos for the Haftorah book, because it is not allowed to have been written down, but it's Muktzah. Since you can't read from it, it's Muktzah. You're not allowed to learn from it, you're not allowed to read from it, and therefore to even be entitled on Shabbos is also L'Tiltulei Nami Yasser. Again, my time, the Halu Chazi L'Mikrabe. Since you're not allowed to read it, it's therefore Muktzah. So therefore, you can't use it on Shabbos. However, both of these two dinim that Rabbi Rav Yossi told us and my Rav Ashi said, the Gemara says Ulohi, they're both incorrect. In fact, shari little too late, v'shari l'mikribe. You're allowed to go and handle it. It's not a muktzah problem because you are in fact allowed to read it. And therefore, if you can read it, it's not muktzah. How do they know this? Because the Rav Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, both Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish said, ma'ine b'sifra the agadata v'shabasa. They would go read svarim that had agadata in them. Now, agadata is Torah she'ba'al peh, and it's not allowed to be written down. So how could they go and do this? V'ho lo nitan likaseh, it's not allowed to be written down. So where it says, ela, since, kivon. The low Efsha, because there was no alternative. They couldn't remember it anymore. Again, this Katnoi Doros, they were having trouble remembering all the things by heart, so they started to write them down. So since it was the Efsha not to have it written down, that was the rationale that Rebbe redacted the Mishnais and codified them. And that's the same thing the Ravina Rav Ashi went and codified the Gemara. And that's exactly what Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish did for the Sifri Agadata. They found it very difficult to remember them by heart, and therefore, if we don't write them down, they're going to be forgotten forever. And therefore, we fulfill this dictum of Eitz La'asos Hashem, if Eretz Yosef, we find the Tehillim. The Chazal tell us that sometimes we have to go and desecrate the Torah in order to preserve the Torah. You can't do this willy-nilly. You need to have the Chazal, the great Gedolim, say when and how this should be applied, and Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish certainly were capable of making such an application. And therefore, they wrote down the Sifri Agadata. And therefore, Hachanami, so too. Kiva the Levsha, if you don't have a full safe of the specific Haftorah that you want to read from, so then, Yevsha, you don't have a choice. And therefore, Kiva the Levsha, Eis Lassos Hashem, Eferu Sosecha. So therefore, you can do it as well. And therefore, in the hierarchy of things today, so the best thing to do is to have a full safer of that entire Sefer of the Haftorah. So, for example, if you're having the Haftorah from Yoshua, so it's best to read it from a klaf, a full Sefer Yoshua, and that's the ideal way. If you don't have that, so then it is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, albeit not everybody agrees with this, that it would be better to use a full Tanakh in that situation that is a published Tanakh. So you take out a full Tanakh, and you go and read the Haftorah from that. And if you don't have that, so then you take out a regular Chumash, or it just has the Haftorahs in it, or a Haftorah book, and read from that. B'diyeved, that is acceptable as well. Eitz La'asos Hashem, Eferus Hosech. Where it continues and says, Boy Mine Abai Mirabba, Abai is the following Shalif from Abba, Ma'u Lichtov Megillo Latinok L'Islamidbo. Are you allowed to write down a sefer for a tinok to go and learn from? Now, this Megillah that we're talking about is not talking about Megillah Esther, it's talking about a Chumash. Now, you have to, as we pointed out, write down the entire Chumash in those days. So therefore, are you allowed to write down only part of it for the little child to learn? He's learning Brachos, Baruch, Lakim, Shemayim, V'Esaretz. He doesn't need a whole sefer Torah, but he just needs that. Can you write down parts of it? So this question can be asked based upon two different opinions. So when Abai asked this question to Rabba, Tibaya, this question could be asked, Laman Diyama Torah Megillah Megillah Nitna. Going according to this question could be going according to the opinion says that Torah was given piecemeal. That when Moshe Rabbeinu was given the Torah, he wrote down each part of it as it occurred, and then it was ultimately all put together. And likewise, the question be asked, Laman Diyama Torah Chasuma Nitna, that the Torah was given as one single unit. It was given as a sealed book with everything in it all at once. Now, how we ask the question. Tibalaman the Omar Torah Megillah Megillah Nitna, going to the opinion that Torah was written each time as it occurred, so to say, so it was written down, and then the next piece was written down, and the next piece was written down, and ultimately Moshe Rabbeinu put them all together. So you could ask this question, are you allowed to write down a Megillah for a Tinuk L'Islamibba according to this opinion? Because Kivan the Megillah and Megillah Nitna, since we could argue that it was given piecemeal, so Gizuntay Kosa, so you can write down piecemeal for this child. Or do we say no? Oh, Dilma, no, maybe not. Kivan the Idbach, once it has been all attached together, Idbach, and it can't be written down piecemeal. So the question could be asked, according to this Shita, can you or can you not write down the Megillah for a Tinuk L'Islamibba? And likewise, according to the other opinion, Tibay Laman Diyamar Torah Chasumanitna, even according to the opinion says the Torah was given all at once, all one sealed document, so Kivan the Chasumanitna in Kosovo. So of course, if you say it's all one sealed document, then you can't write it down piecemeal, so you could give it to the child to learn with. Or on the other hand, we say, oh, Dilma, Kivan the Lo'efshar, since there is no other choice, you can't give every little kid in the first grade in Kita Aleph a full safe Torah for them to learn from, so therefore, you have to do a piecemeal, and therefore, if you have no choice, again, the law of Shur, therefore, you're allowed to write it down. Kasvinun. So that's the question that Abai asked to Rabbah, and Omalei, Rabbah responded in Kozum. No, you're not allowed to write it down. Why not? Umatam. So the reason is Lafish Ein Kosev, because you're not allowed to write it down. We hold that the Torah was given all together, and therefore you're not allowed to go and write it down. She says, Afilu Laman Diyomer Megillah Megillah Nida. Even according to the opinion, it says it wasn't given all at once. It was given piecemeal. Kivon the Idbak Idbak. According to that opinion, once it is all put together, so then you're not allowed to go and separate it. So that's Rabba's Psak. Again, today everything is different because we have the printing press. We're not writing it down in the way that they used to do on a cloth, and therefore that is not considered in any way Kesiva Sefer Torah, and we're allowed to go and write it down today. Now, Eisved, he has the following Shaila. Af, he also saw Tavla Shozov. We know that Hillel Yamak, we learned this not that long ago in Sota, so she went and made an Evreshes that they wrote down the parish of Sota on. So therefore, when they had to write the parish of Sota and erase it, they had it right there. They didn't have to go scramble for a Sefer Torah. She parish Sota k'suv olah. So she wrote this down. Now, how is she allowed to write it down? We just said, you're not allowed to write it down. Rabba Paskin, you're not allowed to write it down. Lefisha and Kosvin. So Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Rishu Rabbi Rish Lakish said, Nir Rabbi Yanai, because she didn't write it fully down. She wrote it down by Aleph Beis. She wrote down like the first letter of each word, and it was an acrostic, so to say. It was a mnemonic. And therefore, they would know, oh, that's the first letter, that's the first word, that's the first letter of the second word. And this way, they didn't have to go take out a Sefer Torah. So that's why Hilani Amalka did such a great thing. More questions says, that's not what the Brisa says. Eisve, the following Brisa, it says, Kishu Kosev, when the Kohen would write down the Parish of Sota, he would go take the Nevreshes, the Hilni Amalka wrote, Roa, he would look at it, the Kosev, Masha Kosev, Bitavla, and he wrote down exactly what's on the Tavla. He didn't write down just the first letter of each word, he wrote down exactly the Tavla, which seemed to imply that the Tavla had everything on it. So, Kasha again, how could she write it down? So it says, no, Ema, when this Brisa says that he wrote down, Kishu Kosev, Roa, Vachosev, Masha Kosev, Tavla, no. Ema, Kim Masha Kosev, Tavla. He wrote down what looked like it was written on the Tavla. In other words, the Rashi Tavos over here, just the first letters of each word, and therefore he knew what the rest of the pasuk should be. Okay. Let's try again. Eisvei says another brisa, Kishu Kosev, when the Kohen would write down the Sota Parsha, Roe B'Tavla, look at the Tavla, the Kosev Masha Kosev B'Tavla. Oh, that's just like the brisa we just asked, but you can't answer over here, Ki Masha Kosev B'Tavla, because here it says specifically, Mahu Kosev B'Tavla, what was written on the Tavla? It says, Im Shachav, Im Lo Shachav. It actually wrote down the Psukim. Now, Rashi tells us both point out that it doesn't actually say, Im Shachav, Lo Ksiv, Klal, Elo, Im Lo Shachav. So, that's what it's basically telling us over here, is that they wrote down the words, Im Lo Shachav. So therefore, how can you tell me that they only wrote down the first letters of each word? It says, Beferish, in this price, they wrote down, Im Lo Shachav. So it says, no, Hachem Ayaskinon, Bisirugin. It skipped. So it started off, Im Lo Shachav, and then they went to the mnemonic way of just writing the first letter of each of the next words after that. So again, it's not a kasha how they wrote to do this, because they didn't write down the whole thing. And when you're not writing down the whole thing, it's not a problem. Now, the Gemara says that this question that Abaye asked, Ma'u lichto Megillah Tiduk Lislamigba, is actually a machlokas tanoim, kitanoi, because it says in the Braisa, in Kosu Megillah Latinuk Lislamigba, the Tanakhama says, you're not allowed to go right down for the Tinok. But then, Vimdato Lahashlim Mutter, but even according to this opinion, if you're writing down, you have to start writing a Sefer Torah someplace. So if you're writing down, Breis, Boral, Kino, Shemaim, Yisarit, so no, until you go finish that Sefer Torah, you can give it to a Tinok to learn with. So that's the Tanakhama's opinion. Review the disagrees. Review the Omer. No. Each paragraph, each section had to be written by itself. So Bereishis, if you were writing down for Bereishis, you could write the Sefer for a Tinuk Lislamiba, but you have to write down the entire Iyun or Sugya of Bereishis. Bereishis at Dor HaMabul. So you wrote down all the events of Bereishis up until the Dor HaMabul. So two parshas Noach. And if you're in Torah's Kohanim, you'd have to write down Vahiba Yom HaShemini. You could write down the beginning of a Yikra and Saab until you get to Parsha Shemini, because each of them is a separate sugya. So, review this says that you are allowed to write it down for a katan, and the Tanakhama says you're not allowed to write it down for a katan. Oh, this is Machlokes Tanoi. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Benoah. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Benoah. Torah, Megillah, Megillah, Nitno. We had this previously, so Rabbi Yochanan held like this opinion in the name of Rabbi Benoah that the Torah was given piece by piece. So it was written down as something occurred, it was written down, then the next thing that happened was written down, and ultimately it was all put back together and one went to one document. Shenema, as Pasuk says, David HaMelech said in Tehillim, Ozomarti hine vasi megillah sefer kosev aloi. So David HaMelech saw, he wrote in Tehillim that the Torah was going to be referring back to him. So obviously that Torah was written down separately. And therefore, since it referred to talking about David HaMelech, so therefore it was written piece by piece. That's Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Benoah. On the other hand, Reish Lakish disagrees with the Yochanan. Reish Lakish Omer Torah Chasum Aninu. He says the Torah was given as one complete unit, not piecemeal. Shenemar, because the pasuk says Lo Koach Esefer HaTorah. Now the gear so that we have is Hazos, but really the pasuk should be Hazeh. So Lo Koach Esefer HaTorah Hazeh. So it takes this entire book. In other words, it was all written at once. So now we have the obvious question: what does Reish Lakish do with Reish Lakish's pasuk, and what does Reish Lakish do with Reish Lakish's pasuk? So first we start off in question with Reish Lakish. Nu Vidach Nami Haksiv Lo Koach. We just had the pasuk Reish Lakish brought down the Kach Sefer Torah Zeh. So what does Rav Yochanan learn from that? Seems to apply that there's one big book and not written piecemeal. So Rav Yochanan would say, how will the boss of Dibach? He says, yeah, it's one big book. You have to, it was all attached together from all the different Megillah pieces that were written. So therefore, that's not a problem for Rav Yochanan. No, what about Reish Lakish? What do you do with Rav Yochanan's pasuk? No, Vidach, Nam Yochsev, Megillah, Sefer, Kosov, Oloi. It was written in a piece of it, was a Megillah, a part of the Sefer Torah, seems to have been written. That's Rav Yochanan's proof. What does Reish Lakish do with that? So Reish Lakish would answer, how do Chol Torah Kula, Ikri Megillah? The entire Torah is called a Megillah. Not only parts of it, but the entire Torah is called a Megillah. Dechsev, as the pasuk says, V'yom Elai, Ma'a Torah, V'omar, Ani Roya, Megillah, Ofa. This is a pasuk from Zechariah, where he sees the Sefer Torah flying in the air, and he calls it over there a Sefer. So therefore, Anira Megillah Ofa. So he sees the whole Sefer Torah, so even the whole Sefer Torah is called a Megillah. Okay. Alternatively, another territory we give for Reish Lakish the Inami Lichud Rav Levi. It could be like Rav Levi said. What did Rav Levi say? Damar Rav Levi, Shmona Parashios Nemru Biyom Shehukam Bo HaMishkan. Mahi Biyom HaShmini, on Parashios Shmini, on Rosh Chodesh Nisan in the second year, when the Mishkan was put up, they had to write down 8 pieces of the Torah. And therefore, those pieces had to be written down at that point in time, even though the rest of the Torah was all going to be given at one point in time. What were these 8 pieces? Because they were 8 practical dinim that they needed once the Mishkan was up. So, hey, they have to know these dinim. Parshas Kohanim, they have to know all the laws dealing with the Kohanim. Parshas Levim, they have to know the laws of Levim. Parshas Tmeim, they have to know the laws of Tum and Tara, because they obviously would be pertinent. Could a Kohen or Levi do the Avodah? He had to be Tar. Well, Parshas Shiluch Tmeim, and what do you do with the Tmeim people? They have to be sent outside the camp so as not to be metame other people. Well, Parshas Achrimos, they have to Nebuch know the din of after Nadav and Avihu, Aaron's 2 older children, passed away, so they had to know what happened with them passing away, what to do in terms of going into the Kodesh Kedoshim in order to go and properly do the Yom Kippur Avodah. Furthermore, they have to know the Parshish Suri Yayin. That also was needed to tell them, Yayin Mishekor Al Teish, because according to one opinion, other than view, they went and drank wine. They had a review of wine. So we had to know those dinim, what a Kohen can drink and not drink. Or Parshish Neiros, they have to know the lighting of the menorah. And or Parshish Paradum, they had to know the way to go become tar from Tumas Mesa. So these 8 Parshish had to be written down. So that could be the answer why sometimes it's called a Megillah, that he saw only part of the Torah and not the entire Torah. Okay. On Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar says, Torah, Rov Bichsav. Rabbi Elazar says that the majority of the Torah that we have was written down. And there's only a smaller part of Miyut Alpeh, only a small part that's Torah Shabbat Peh. Shinamari, based upon this pasuk, Echtov Lo Rube Torah Si Kimo Zar Nechshavu. So this pasuk from Hosea tells us that we darshan this homiletically, that most of the Torah is written down, and only a small part was not written down. That is the opinion of Rav Elazar. Rav Yochanan disagrees. Rav Yochanan Amar, Rov Al Peh. The majority of the Torah is the Torah Shabbat Peh. Umi B'chsav, only a small amount is the Torah Shabbat Peh. And he bases one of the following pasuk, Shinemar, Ki Api Hadvarim Ho'ela. This is a pasuk from Shmos, where it tells us that Api, by the word, that's the majority. So we have Rav Elazar saying the majority is written from Torah Shabbat, and only a small amount of Torah Shabbat Peh, and Rav Yochanan says the exact opposite. The majority is Torah Shabbat Peh, only a small amount is Torah Shabbat. Now, what does each one do with the other one's pasuk? The Idoch Nami, Rav Yochanan, who says that the majority is Baal Peh. So what does he do with the pasuk with Elazar to seem to suggest Echtov Lo Rubei Torah Si, that most of it's written down? Hoksiv Echtov Lo Rubei Torah Si. So he would answer, how is Smue Komasmi? He was shocked and he says, really? Echtov lo Rube Torasi. You want me to write down most of the Torah? Hello, Kumar Zarnech Shavu. You're not even, the small parts that are written down, you haven't even learned. You're ignoring them. So therefore, that's what it means. And it's not talking about that the majority is Torah Shebichsav. Only a small amount of Torah Shebichsav. And I could write down any more because you're not even following the small amount that's written down. Okay, that explains what Rav Yochanan does with Rav Elazar's pasuk. No, v'idach nami. What does Rav Elazar do with Rav Yochanan's pasuk? It says haksiv ki api advar meila, implying that most of it's written down. So how? So Rav Elazar would answer how mishum detkife lemigmarinu. That's because the little bit that is there of Torah Shabbat Peh is much harder than the Torah Shabbat, and therefore it's referred to as api advar meila, because that's a much more difficult thing to go and learn. But it's a smaller amount in terms of the quantity. Okay. Darash of Yehuda bar Nachmeni miturgimene de Rabbi Shimon Lakish. The miturgimen of Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Reish Lakish's miturgimen was Rabbi Yehuda bar Nachmeni. He was a great Talmud Chacham himself, and he darshed in the following. Ksiv, it says, Ksav lecha es hadvar me'ela. It says, you write down these things. Uksiv, but another place says, Kyapi hadvar me'ela, that you won't write down these things. Okay, it's how you reconcile some things you write down, some things you don't write down. So, dvarim shebichsav. So, the things that are supposed to be written down, yat harasha lomer al pat. You now let a say them outside. That's why when you read a pasuk in Chumash, you really shouldn't say it outside, unless it's something that's shkur b'piv, something that's so familiar with you, like Shema Yisrael, you can say outside. But otherwise, you really should read a pasuk from inside. So, Torah Shebichsav has to be Bichsav, and it can't be said al-peh. And likewise, Dvarim Shebal-peh, and things that were Baal-peh, Torah Shebal-peh, L'chatchila, I'atarashi l'omer b'chsav. Now let's write them down. New, again, as we pointed out, Eis la'asos Hashem, Eferu so'secha, sometimes you had to, but the din is that you're not supposed to. Furthermore, the very Rabbi Shmuel taught it. They learned it right in the base management of Rabbi Shmuel. They said the word Eila in this pasuk, Eila tokose via tokose v'alochos. So these words you're allowed to write down, but you're not allowed to write down the alochos. In other words, the Torah, Sheba'al Pe. Furthermore, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, lo koras HaKadosh Baruch Hu brisim Yisrael, Ela b'shvil dvarim Sheba'al Pe. The covenant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made with Klai Yisrael was really because we accepted the Torah Sheba'al Pe, not only the Torah Shebichsav. Shenemar, ki api advar me'ela, karasi idcho bris v'es Yisrael. So this additional acceptances of the Torah Sheba'al Peh, not only the Torah Shebichsav, that, so to say, established the real covenant, the real bris between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then we quote the Mishnah said, Ma'arvim b'bayis yoshon mipnei dakei shalom. When you have the Erev Chatzeros, so you have the box of matzahs that's used for the Erev Chatzeros, so you should always leave it in the same house. Again, mipnei dakei shalom, so people don't fight. Hey, how come it's not in my house? It should be my house, it should be his house. So there should be no fights. My time, what's the reasoning? So Gemara says, Ilei mamishum kavod. If you're saying it's just a question of kavod, oh, it's a slight to the person's kavod if you were to take it from the house and move it to another house, but we see that that's not the case. Oh, how is shipura? They used to have a shofar that they would blow in Pumbedisa every Erev Shabbos. Many communities have this custom today that they blow a shofar, where it describes six times they would blow the shofar on Erev Shabbos to tell people to stop doing the work, getting ready to stop doing the work, leave the fields, come back to the house, prepare for Shabbos, and then finally, when Shabbos came, they would blow the last shofar blast. So in any event, they used to have the shofar that was blown for the town of Pumbedisa, and they kept it. The Avi Meikar originally was Bei Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda. It was in the house of Rav Yehuda, who was the Rosh Hashiva over there in Pumbedisa. Then, after he passed away, Elbasov Bei Rabba, they put it into the house of Rabba. They took it out of the house of Yehuda, and they moved it to the house of Rabba. He was the new Rosh Hashiva. Elbasov, when Rabba passed away, they put it into the house, Elbasov Bei Rav Yosef. They put it into the house of Rav Yosef, the base manager of Rav Yosef, because he was now the Rosh Hashiva. Elbasov Bei Abai, and then they put it, after Rav Yosef passed away, they put it into Abai's house. He was the Rosh Hashiva. Elbasov, when he passed away, Bei Rabba, they put it into Rabba's house. So you see that there is no loss of cover by removing it from one house to put it into another house. So Ella, what is the reason that we said in the Mishnah, Mishum Daki Shalom, Mishum Chashoda, the people shouldn't suspect. Now what do they suspect? So Rashi has Mishum Chashoda, Diva Masa Mishum Chashoda, Ho Vuhurgal Ha'eru B'soch Oso Abai, since the air was always in that house. So if now somebody comes to that house in Baal, Lashana says Makoma, you're going to change the place of the air. Ha'nichnos and Oso Abai, the people coming to that house, below Yeru Shomes Ha'eruv, they won't see the air over there, they won't know that it was moved to someplace else, and they'll say, Yechoshua Sbnei Ha'chotzer Shemetaltalin below Eruv. They'll suspect them for carrying on Shabbos without having an Erev Chatzeros without the actual Erev. So therefore, in this situation, leave it in the same house. That's Rashi's understanding. Tosos, indeed, Rav Masal Abishum Chashod, there's a different reason. He says, Pirush Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam says, Shelo Yomru, Mimnei Chashad, Shechashudim also Liknov Pashal Erev. That he's eating the Pas of the Erev. And therefore, Eimanich Moso Sham. They don't leave it by his house because he eats it up. And therefore, caused them to go and put a new Erev, a new box of matzahs. However, by the shofar, Tosus points out, Al Bishipura, Lecha Chashodin. There's no Chashad, oh, they ate the shofar up. Because Shiodin, in that situation, everybody knows, Shemanichin Itzel Reish Mesifta. They put it by the head of the Mesifta. But then Tosa says something that's interesting. He says they would go and give it out to the Tamidim. Sheminichim Eitzel Reish Mesifta L'chalim Tamidim. What's he talking about? It's blowing the shofar. So this goes according to the second shot that Rashi brought down, which I didn't read before, which is the shofar. So the simple understanding was they would blow the shofar, like I said, on Erev Shabbos. But he brings down the Rav Shri Ragon. Rashi brings this down. Pirush Riksad Chuvaso, that Shipur means the shofar shol nedova, shinosim l'socho nedova, ashulcha livnei ha-yeshiva, kamo yugim shofar sayu b'mikdash. Like there were 13 collection boxes in the base of Mikdash, so this Shipura over here is not talking about blowing of a shofar. The second shot that Rashi brings down, name of Rav Shira Gaon, which is how Tosus seems to understand this as well, is talking about that they had a collection box, so therefore there was no chashash that the Rosh Hashiva, the Rosh Masifta, would be moving the collection box because they were concerned that he in fact was taking from the collection box. Obviously, it was clear that that was the Rosh Hashiva's job to go and have the collection box. And therefore, when somebody passed away, the new Rosh Hashiva was taken, there was no concern over chashada by the Shipura. Okay. I quote the Mishnah again. It said, Bar Shukar L'yama V'chulei. We said that when you have a bar that's filled with water and it's going to go irrigate the field, so the one that's closest to the bar is allowed to irrigate first. In other words, they plug it off below them, so all the water flows into their field. After they're done irrigating the field, they unplug it. They let it go down to the next person's field. He plugs it up. It goes and irrigates his field. They unplug it, go to the third, etc., the fourth, etc. So that's what the Mishnah said. More questions. It says, Itmar B'nei Nahara. It said regarding farmers that are next to a field, and Rav Amar Tatoi Shasumai Bereisha, Vishmu Amar Eloi Shasumai Bereisha. This seems to go against what our Mishnah said, Rav's opinion, because Rav over here says that the people at the bottom of this river get to go and first irrigate the fields, and Shmuel says the people at the top of the field, at the top of the area, they get to go and irrigate for us. So Shmuel certainly goes like our Mishnah. And Rav is going to be a question. He seems to go against our Mishnah. So Gemara says further, if the water is strong enough coming down this river, it's going to flow no matter what. So then everybody says, no problem. Anybody that wants to can go water because there's enough water for everybody. It's not going to go. And if you irrigate your field, there won't be enough water for downfield. So if it's a strong flowing river, it's not a problem. However, where they do have an argument is, we're dealing over here where you have to go and dam up the river, and therefore you're diverting the flow to go into the field. So therefore, this is similar to our Mishnah. And Shmuel Amar, Eloi Shasumai Bereisha, because that's what our Mishnah says, that the people at the top have the right to have it first. The Amri, Anami Karvinan Tvei, because we're closer, and therefore we have first rights on it. Rav Amar, no, Tatoi Shasumai Bereisha, Maya Bereisha, that the bottom people have the right to it because they say, let things go naturally. The Amri, Nara, Kipash, De Lezel, let the river flow, and if you want to have water, you have to wait till we get the water. So the question is, tonight we learned it on Mishnah, like Shmuel, not like Rav. Barak Karvliyama Mismali Rishon Mimidaki Shalom. It says that the upper field is allowed to go first. So how could we have this against Rav that he says the bottom field, our Mishnah goes against Rav? So Gemara says, Tirgum Shmuel with Rav. Look at the honesty that Shmuel himself gave the answer according to Rav. B'yama Misalecha Sapi Boro. The Mishnah is talking about where the Amma, the irrigation canal of the upper field, was right next to the bar. You didn't have to plug anything up. You didn't have to dam anything up. It just automatically filled it according to Rav's understanding of the Mishnah. And therefore, that's why the people at the bottom had no taina against the people at the top. But in a situation where they had to plug it up, so then Rav would say that the bottom people have the right to go and say, hey, top people, don't go plug it up because the water's going to naturally flow down to us. So the Gemara now asks, if that's the case, then our Mishnah is obvious. Hochi Maila Memra. So what's the chiddush in our Mishnah? Why would our Mishnah have to tell us this? If there's no need to plug it up, so then, of course, you should just let the water flow down because the top people don't have to plug it up. What's the shaila in the Mishnah? Someone says, no. Now the tema, I would have said, Motzi Amrilei, that maybe the people at the bottom can say to the people at the top, Sochar Miskar, you have to go and not have that bar right next to your irrigation channels because you're taking water that would come down to us. B'yashke B'hindizah. And what you should let happen is let the irrigation go naturally and not through this bar that you've created over there to go and suck in a lot of the extra water. And therefore, you might have thought that they have a right to tell them, no, don't let the water go from the river into the bar. So, Kamash Vulon, no, that's the Chiddush of our Mishnah. How do we affect Paskin? So, Amar Rav Huna Bar Tachlifa. Huna Bar Tachlifa said, since we don't have a clear answer. We didn't Paskin over here like Rav or like Shmuel. And in fact, Shmuel came to the defense of Rav. Therefore, we leave it called the Alim Gvar. This is a very important principle that's discussed greater elsewhere. As Rashi points out, normally we have the rule that the halach is like Shmuel by dinim and by Rav by Yisura, but here we don't apply that. One of the reasons is because Rav was defended by Shmuel, so Mistamash, Shmuel thinks that Rav is right, possibly. And Tosos points that same thing out. Tosos says, in this situation, So Tosa says that Hilchos are normally Kishmur B'dine Ukarab Yisure, so here that doesn't apply. Inami, Hocho Mistaver time of the Rab, because Rab's reasoning makes very good sense. Let the water flow naturally. If nobody does anything, the people at the bottom will be filled up. So Athel Gav, the Dechakinon Masnis and Alibi, even though we have to go, so to say, force the Mishnah into a specific situation that Shmuel had said, that's how Rab would have to understand the Mishnah. Nevertheless, we don't have a clear cut psak over here. And therefore, we go call the Alam Gvar. Who's ever stronger, he's the one that wins. In other words, the person who's able to take things into their own hand, they'll be the one that will actually win in this situation. When do we use the principle called Alam Gvar is too much for our shiur today, but it is a principle to discuss in the Nezikin type of Gemaras, where we talk about in the certain situations, a person is allowed to take the law into their own hands. Okay, now we have a very similar Ma'isa Shehoya. Rav Simi Barashi also came to Abaya. Rav Simi Barashi came to Abaya, and Amar Le, he told Abaya, Losvan Mar Biidna, could you spend some time to learn with me? Can you set up a set chavrus with me? I'd like to learn with the Rebbe, with Abaya, every single day. So Amar Le, Abaya said, I'm sorry, I would love to, but I just don't have the time. Isli Idno Lididi, I need a daytime to go learn myself. That's what I prepare my shiur, and that's what I do my own learning. So I can't, unfortunately, learn with you during the daytime. Okay, so Rav Simi Barashi said, no problem. Velosvan mar belelya. So let's learn at night. After you're done with your learning during the day, I'll learn with you at night. So Amalei, so Abai tells him, I'm sorry. At nighttime, isli mayali eshkuya. That's when I go and irrigate my fields. Oh, so Rav Simi came up with a great idea. Rav Simi Barashi says, Amalei, no, I'll go water your fields during the daytime, and this way you'll be free, and you can go learn with me at night. I will go and water the fields of the master, Maya be your mama, with water in the daytime, and therefore you'll be free at night. And therefore you'll have time to sit with me and learn in the evenings. So Abaye tells him, yeah, great idea. I'm willing to do that. My field needs to be watered. If you're willing to water it, then I'll spend time learning with you. Quid pro quo. Okay, so what did Rav Simi Barashi do? Azaliloi, he went to the people that were higher up the mountain than Abaya was. So he went to them, Azaliloi, and Amalahu. He told those farmers that were in the fields above Abaya's field, Tatoi Shasu Maya Beresha. First halach is that the people at the bottom get to go and irrigate the fields first, similar to what Rav had said. And then Azalatatoi, he then went to the people at the bottom and he told them, no, the halach is like Shmuel. Amluli Loi Shasu Maya Beresha. We pass like Shmuel. So the upper people get to go and water their fields first. So therefore, you have to go and wait your turn. And therefore, he basically told the people below Abaye's field and the people above Abaye's field that you have to wait till the other people are done. Now, while they're all waiting, Adahochi, Sochar Miskar Vyashke, he plugged up the field and allowed Abaye's field to get fully irrigated. No. He then told Abaye what he did. Abaye was not happy. So when he came to Abaye, he also came to Abaye, Amalei, Abaye tells him, hey, Kebei Trey, Avadatli, what did you do? You're passing like Rav and you're passing like Shmuel. You can't do that. And therefore, below Taminu, Abaye Lepere, Daishata. Abaye didn't want to get any benefit from this, what he felt was ill-gotten or inappropriately gotten irrigation of his field, so he didn't benefit from any of the peris that were growing in his field that year. Now, Tosafot asked a very good question. What in the world was Simi Barashi thinking? After all, you don't possibly like both sides. So Tosus and Libra Maskel, Kibay Trey Avadisli. So he said, Vuhu Savar, Rav Simi Barashi felt, Skivan the Omar called the Alam Gvar. Since we just passed it a moment ago from Rav Huna Bar Tachlifa, that the stronger one can win, who the one who is able to go take the water can go take the water. So he said in his mind, Yochol Harmalim, I'm allowed to trick them. However, Tosa says he was wrong, and that's why Abaye didn't want to benefit from the irrigation that was gotten in an improper way, because he says, Manushach, the middle one, Abaye's field, had no tie to whatsoever. Either the ones above him or the ones below him had the rights, but certainly the middle one did not. And therefore, it didn't apply over here called the Alam Gvar. Another similar ma'aseh, the Gemara tells us, Hanu b'nei Bei Chermoch. There were the people that lived in a place called Bei Chermoch. The Ozul Koru Beresha Dishanvasa. They went and they made a channel, an irrigation canal, from the river Shanvasa into their fields. There's a very nice picture in the art scroll in diagram number 28 if you're having difficulty seeing this. But you basically have what we've been talking about too now, a river running from the top to the bottom of area, and you have the people in the different farms from upper down to lower, and the people of Charmoch were in the middle somewhere, but they diverted the river to go around their field and irrigate the field and then go back into the main river area. So Yadrua, Vishadrua, Vishuli Nara, and they basically diverted the flow of the water to make it go around their fields and then went back into the river at a lower point. So also Eloi Lechamei Abaye, the people that were in the area, the farms above the Charmoch fields, so they came to Abaye, they were upset. They said to Abaye, Kol Maskil Lenairin. Since they diverted the water, so the water is now going at different angles, it's not able to flow so fast. But the water is still coming down into that area fast, and therefore it's backing up. It's backing up into our fields, and our fields are getting flooded. So Omar Lahu, so Abaye told him, listen, I have a simple technical suggestion for you. Kiru Bahadayu, go and dig down into the depths of the canals, Tefei Porto, a little bit more. And this way, the water will have a little bit more room to go, and therefore, you'll have plenty of protection to your fields that they won't get overflowed. However, the people said, Amulei, they said to Abaye, that's not a good answer, because Koyav Shei Perin, what happens if we dig too deep, then the river will go down, and it won't irrigate our field properly. So if that's the situation, then Abaye said, then you're right. Amalahu, Abaye went and told the people of Charmach that tried to go and make this channel out of the river. So Zilu Sliku Navshaichu Mihosv, you got to take yourself away from there because you are hurting the people that are above you. You don't have the right to hurt the people above you. You have the right to take the water, but you don't have the right to hurt the people above you in doing so. Then we go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Mitsudos, Chayos, Yofus, Adog, Vieshbem, Vuchule. So we said if there are either animals, Chayos, or Ophos, or birds, or fish that are trapped in the various traps, and we had mentioned in the Mishnah, we brought down what we're going to see now in the Gemara, that they didn't have any toch to them, so therefore they're not considered Kalim that acquired it on behalf of the owners. So we said there was a takana in this situation, so there should be shalom between all the people that you're not allowed to go take the animals, the fish, the birds that are in the trap. Fine. So Gemara says, "Be uzle v'yohare." In these various types of traps, Rashi tells us the uzle are traps, rishasos nets shelchutin, made out of strings or threads, sheshlam toch, that have a toch to them. They have an inside, so it's a base kibble. If they have a receptacle area, so then they automatically acquire for the owner whatever is put into the receptacle area. So any fish, animals, or birds that are trapped there automatically belong to the owner midoraisa. The uhare, what's that? These are somehow made out of gemi, some type like of a rubber from the trees. And in this situation, they also have a toch to them, Rashi says on the next page, on Samach Aleph, Omud Aleph. That's what we return now, because Kuli Amo Lo Pligi, nobody argues in this situation, as the top Rashi says, the Kivin Jeshlem toch, both of these have a toch, a base kibble, a receptacle area, therefore, Kona Lo Kalim in their Isa, the Kalim acquire on behalf of their owners, anything that goes into them, the heavy Gezel Gomer, this would be real Gezel Midar Isa. So therefore, Kuli Amo Lo Pligi. However, where is there an argument between the Tanakama and Rav Yossi Ki Plige Belechi V'Kukri? These types of traps, Rashi says Lechi is like a hook, a chika, it's like a fish hook, or Kukri. This is another type of a trap, Sharmatudos, it's a certain type of a trap, or it's a Mechsholim, another type of a trap, Shenostim Chut Oruch Benar, they would take a long string and go across the river, V'chorzin Bo Machtim Apneikula, and they would have a certain type of hooks or sharp things that would go and catch the fish or the birds, whatever it would be, across the river. And therefore, in this situation, there is no base kibble, so that's where we have the Machlokas. The Tanakhama says, since it's technically not a base kibble, so it's only a Shalom Bayis situation, Mishum Shalom, that the rabbi said, give it to the person who owns the traps and not technically to the person who's taking it from the traps. After all, he didn't do anything, so Al Shalom, don't go take it from there. But not Midin the Rabbanan even, it's only an Eitz HaTovah, so to say, for Shalom. Whereas with Yossi, it said, no, this the rabbis gave it to Koyach Mid the Rabbanan, even though it doesn't have a toch, doesn't have a base kibble, to go and belong to that person, and he could take them to court, as we pointed out, according to Rav Yossi. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's share.